Welcome to a very special episode of Suncast It Hot. My name is Sasha.
And I'm Alex. Hello.
And why is this special?
Because we're together in the same room for the first time.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I'm like looking at you.
Not really for the first
Not
time.
Not for the first time.
Yeah.
For the first time when we're recording a podcast.
That's very true.
For the billionth time in the past couple days we were together in the same room.
So unfortunately Allison isn't here because she's still in North Carolina.
Sorry, Allison.
Yeah. But Alex is in Toronto visiting Sasha.
Yay.
And we're on what? What day is this?
Three.
Day three?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've showed you the sights.
That, we've seen a lot of sights.
That one street that was, there was nothing on it. I showed you my apartment and my television on which we watched a lot of movies.
And a few movie theaters.
Two. Yeah, but we didn't go into that a good long.
Well, we went into the AMC and looked at what was playing.
Nothing.
And then walked out.
the choice was between Footloose and The Thing,
I think. And, yeah.
And
I'm too scared to see Contagion, so.
Yeah. So, why are you here?
I'm here because of the Toronto After Dark Film Festival. Yay!
She was doing Muppet Arms, just so everybody knows.
It is the main genre film festival in the city, as far as I know. It's in its sixth year.
I think so.
And it's pretty rad. They show, sci-fi, horror, action, cult-type movies, I guess you'd say.
Genre film.
Yeah, exactly, cult films. And it's really cool so far. We've seen two movies in it. And I'm also just here, to let you know, visit Sasha.
Yay!
I meet other Toronto blogger people. And I've never been to Canada. It's my first trip to Canada. I've always heard good things about Toronto.
So he saw Monster Brawl.
Oh yeah.
And we'll talk about the movies later. But we saw Monster Brawl and we also saw a movie called Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And in Father's Day, maple syrup has a very integral part of the plot.
I didn't know maple syrup was a Canadian thing until I got here.
It's like hot shit here.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, maple leaf is our flag, right?
That's true. I guess I just thought you had a lot of maple trees. I didn't really think of it in terms of syrup.
No, probably most syrup comes from Canada.
Well, I know in the States, I think is it Vermont? I think Vermont is known for maple syrup. It's kind of a thing there.
Isn't it New England and stuff like that too?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of in New England, exactly. Okay. New England, Vermont and New Hampshire. I remember my dad used to have someone who worked for him or something who had a maple syrup farm, whatever you call it. And every single Christmas, he would give us a huge ass thing of maple syrup. I don't actually like regular maple syrup. I like the Mrs. Butterworth type stuff. So we have a cupboard still full of just huge, really nice, glass containers of maple, of Vermont maple syrup.
Yeah.
And none of us eats it.
That's hilarious.
It's that it's thin. I don't know. Yeah. I like the store-bought stuff just because it's thicker and sugarier.
Yeah.
I know I'm sorry, that's anti-Canadian, I guess.
No. I don't go out and buy Canadian maple syrup. Okay, I get Aunt Jemima,
I like Aunt Jemima too.
Yeah. No.
Exactly.
I'm
so you're not a true Canadian?
No, yeah. Not at all.
Well.
But anyways, so what movies did we see? We saw
our first movie was Monster Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Thursday night. That was the opening night film, and it was so popular that they had to have a special second showing because it sold out.
It sold out.
So that was cool. And the people who made it were there, which was nice too.
Yeah, so it was basically a video game on film.
Yeah, that is exactly all that it is.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's the premise it has just doesn't really last for a whole film, I think.
No, the novelty quickly fades.
Yeah.
It's a monster wrestling movie. And everything's set up like a TSN show, right?
They have stats and they have
announcers and they have
the introduction videos.
Yeah,
what do you call those? Where everyone's they give the stats and they're I'm going to punch you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had that, but the second half of the film was a 40-minute fight sequence between the two main guys for the heavyweight title of the world.
I know, it dragged. Yeah. It wasn't, I liked it. I thought it was fun. And it was cool. It was, a good way to, start the festival, I thought. But, yeah, I feel like you could have made the same movie and had it maybe be even half an hour.
No.
You know, and it would have been more effective, even. But it was cool, and, Dave Foley was there, and he needs money, but I love Dave Foley, so I was happy to see him. I thought he was funny as the announcer, constantly getting drunk, and then later, like, shooting zombies.
He was really good. I like the fact that the announcers had, like, a storyline on themselves.
Me too, yeah. It sort of made it more fun. Mm-hmm. Especially because, yeah, and I like that the entire film took place pretty much on that one set, because I really like one-location movies.
No.
Because they had the flashbacks to the each... what's the word? Each monster. Like
the origin story.
Each monster. One of whom was from Massachusetts.
Oh, which one?
The witch, because like Salem.
Yeah.
I doubt they actually filmed it in Massachusetts.
Oh, it's probably all in like the outskirts of Ontario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the short beforehand.
Oh my God! Yeah, which was better than the movie.
Yeah, The Legend of Beaver Dam, which I've seen, like I feel like I've seen it maybe 6 times. Maybe 4 times in, like, festival circumstances. But how did you like that?
I really liked it. It was surprising.
Yeah, because you weren't expecting
it. I didn't know what it was going to be. But, yeah, it's. I really, really liked it.
It's basically, it starts out with about, like, 9 or 10 campers. And they're all around a campfire. And there are camp counselors telling them a ghost story about this man called Stumpy Stan. Stumpy Sam.
Right, yeah.
And it's just funny from the get-go, but then some stuff happens, and you're like, what? And it's lovely.
Yeah, definitely. It starts off in one way, and then it goes a direction you don't expect, and that's what I liked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil it for people who may get to see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it pretty much has... And I think you wrote your review of it yesterday, and you said it... Yeah, I think you said it was like... If you like certain things, you'd love it.
Ghost stories, like serial killers and musicals, you might like this.
But you'd also like it anyway.
But you would also like it anyway.
Just because it's that good.
And if you just like movies in general, you will like this. Yeah. But then what did we see after that?
We had our big movie day yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Instead of showing...
We watched like 5 movies yesterday.
Yeah. Instead of showing Alex around town, we stayed in my apartment and watched DVDs while blogging.
But first we went grocery shopping, and you have an awesome grocery store.
Yeah.
I, like, loved that place.
It's quite large.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And they have, like, fresh-baked muffins.
Yeah.
And dry cleaning?
There's dry cleaning. There's a liquor store in it. In Canada, we don't have... liquor stores and grocery stores usually, or like liquor and sold outside of LCBOs. But there's that, and then you missed it, but there's also a section where they like make you fresh sushi and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh my God. I'm gonna move here.
Yeah.
Into the grocery store. They have everything.
No. And the TTC is at the bottom of it. It's like the perfect grocery store.
Oh yeah, it really is.
Awesome. Yeah,
but then we said we didn't watch movies. That was our big thing of the day was grocery shopping.
Yeah, that's the only actual thing we did. And then while doing pre-After Dark reviews on our blogs, because we're trying to get that out of the way before we start blogging about After Dark, we watched a bunch of movies on my TV. And we watched Romeo and Michelle, Clueless, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and Half of Rushmore. It's pretty much the movies we kind of had to watch together, if we ever met.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We got them all knocked out in one day.
Yeah. Except for, we've probably got a couple more, though.
Yeah.
Like, Kamikaze Girls. Oh my God, yeah. Maybe The Fall.
Yeah, true.
I don't know.
And then you have to show me Billy Elliot.
Yeah, so...
And Dan Austin stuff. We gotta watch Dan Austin.
Yeah, yeah. Alex has never seen Billy Elliot, so we're gonna watch that.
I know, it's a weird thing.
So maybe we'll do another podcast in a day or two, and she'll do a mini review of Billy Elliot.
Hopefully I'll like it.
You bet. Like, it's kind of very difficult not to
I've
like
always heard Billy it's good. Elliot.
Yeah.
It's and my grandma recommended it to me, and I trust her taste implicitly, so if she likes something, I know that I'll like it.
It's great.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we're going to watch the Emma miniseries, because we've been talking about Emma a lot.
Yeah, and we just watched Clueless.
And we just watched Clueless. And then we should probably watch Sherlock.
Oh, yeah, because I haven't seen that either.
Just, oh, at least the pilot. Just the pilot.
Okay.
We don't have to watch the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Do you want to talk about last night's movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. So, after that, we watched Father's Day, which is a... How would you describe that movie?
It's a grindhouse throwback, mm-hmm. certainly. And then it's... I guess it's like, I mean, it's definitely a comedy. Like, it was very
funny. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's definitely
but it's also comedy. Really gory.
Yeah.
So it's like an action comedy gore fest.
Yeah. It starts off kind of like Hobo with a Shotgun. That's it. It was referenced in the summary, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. The summary, yeah, definitely compared to Hobo with a Shotgun.
But instead of, like, killing prostitutes or hobos or whatever the premise of that movie was, I can never remember. Even though I saw it. You know, whatever. There's a serial killer out there who kills fathers after raping and, like, maiming them.
And, like, eating them, just, like, yeah. There's a lot of, like, body chopping up.
Yeah, it was kind of gross. I try to look at the corner of the screen.
Yeah, I look away from many parts.
But that's slowly... There's, like, maybe the first 40 minutes is very, like, jam-packed with that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, we forgot about it. And it suddenly turns into, like, heaven versus hell, you know, like, demon fest.
But also kind of like a buddy comedy in some ways. Yeah. Yeah, it I liked that it went that direction because it was unexpected. And I didn't like the early stuff.
I didn't like the first half at all.
Yeah, so I was happy when they went the different direction, when they sort of, like... they got sort of sci-fi with it, I guess, whatever you'd call it. Yeah, the demon stuff, heaven and hell stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously, and the various, like, action-y type things. But it's made by a company called Astron 6, which is, like, a collective of five or six dudes. I think they're all Canadian. They said they met in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I think they all. They all are
Canadian. They, and they seem pretty young.
Yeah.
Most of them.
They're probably late 20s.
I would say, yeah. And it looks like they pump out a lot of movies because they have another movie at this festival, Manborg, and they had referenced other movies they made. Mm-hmm. But they pretty much, as far as I can tell, they did everything. Like, that one guy did all the effects. He was like, oh yeah, I stayed up and did all the stop motion by himself.
What?
Just
yeah,
him.
Like,
yeah, I was like, just you? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I had a deadline, so I did it in, you know, I had 12 hour days and just kept animating the sequence. And I was like, did you have an assistant? And if you read the credits, it's all just the same names popping up the entire time. Because, like, someone did the music. They all directed together. They all wrote together. And they were all, I don't know if they were all there. Most of them were there.
I think there was at least four of them.
Yeah. There... And then plus, because then the actress as well. The two actors were there.
I think maybe all six of them.
Yeah.
Maybe there's one person missing.
Yeah, which they didn't say, so I wasn't sure. Yeah. But it was, and they seemed like cool guys. Like, I don't know. They were pretty funny, and you could tell they
if you look up their website, Astron 6, you get a picture of them. I think there's only five of them, isn't there?
Maybe there's only five. That's true, because if they're doing the Breakfast Club, there's only five of them.
Yeah. So there's a picture of them all dressed up like the Breakfast Club, all in, like, the postures on the poster, and it's just hilarious. Like, the only reason I wanted to see that movie.
Yeah, I know, you were like, well, now I'm interested.
Yeah.
I know. But yeah, I think that, I think they could have taken out I don't know, because, like, the story is about, or that the, one of the stories is about this killer, and he's, like, killing fathers, and you don't know why, and it's not really important why, it's just what he's doing, and then, of course, there's a guy with an eye patch who has a revenge mission to kill the killer, and, you know, it's that sort of trope, like, it's very self-aware and very funny, but, I think they didn't need to make it that he's, like, raping dudes and cutting them up and eating their stuff, like, all those weird shots.
If it was just... Hey, I'm killing dads.
Exactly. You could still have gory type stuff, but it seemed like it was meant to... It was overkill, I guess, because they had all these other good ideas, too. It wasn't... You know, they didn't need the shock factor. Mm-hmm. They didn't need all to show off that they were using, like, very realistic, actual pig intestines to get these really gross effects.
Yeah.
It just... I don't know. I mean, I'm personally a squeamer, so it's definitely a personal thing. But I liked the rest of the movie so much, and I thought it was just very funny, and that the main three guys were really good in the roles. That I was sort of, I felt bad that I had to, like, look away through about 20 minutes of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. No, it just, no, and it seemed that's not exactly in keeping. How I felt. It's like not in keeping with the rest of the movie. Like tonally, it was totally off.
It was a completely different movie. Yeah. And a movie that I would not have seen. But the second half, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch this.
Yeah, exactly. It like has this switch.
But the whole second half, it has nothing really to do with Father's Day, even though the title is called that.
I know they should probably give it a different title.
Or they, I don't know. It's just it feels like two very different movies.
Yeah. Oh, which reminds me also, one of the best things about this movie, which by the way is a Trauma production, and Lloyd Kaufman has a cameo. Is that it's framed as being shown on late night TV. Like, they had the little introduction was like, you know, late night at the movies. And then about two-thirds the way through the film, I'd say, there's a random commercial for Star Raiders, which is like a Star Wars knockoff with very, very low effects. And it's just like a little, you know, it's probably like a minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like probably a trailer, yeah. And I thought that was really funny.
It was hilarious.
It was. And it just kind of took you out of the movie for a second. Yeah. And it was just, I thought it was smart to do that. And it was just, it was cool. But apparently Lloyd Kaufman wants to remove it. And we're supposed to promote that we like it and that you shouldn't take it out. Because they, at the end, they like made a video of people cheering for the commercial. That way he wouldn't cut it out. So, yeah.
Yay!
It was good.
Yeah, the female in the Star Raiders commercial, she's billed as a woman.
Woman.
That got the biggest laugh.
It did, yeah. But I also like just, there was like a Chewbacca figure named Brickabat.
Yeah.
But the way he looked, he was just like a square piece of like fluff, essentially. It was really funny to look at him. It was just, he looked like a fluffy couch or something.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty silly too.
No, the second half was great.
Yeah. I think it was worth it for that.
Yeah.
If I watched it again, I'd be fast forwarding through those little parts that I didn't like.
Yeah.
You know.
No, there's like random shots of grizzly bears.
Yeah.
There was a random, the protagonists were on like hallucinogenic berries, and that somehow had healing powers.
Well, there were the tasty berries and there were the toxic berries. I think the tasty had healing powers.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that. But there's like this random picture of like a hologram cat head saying, "You guys are fucked," and it's like, what the hell?
I know, it was pretty silly. Yeah. And I had one of my favorite things of a priest, or like when a religious figure becomes like corrupted and becomes a killer. I love when that happens. So I was really happy that was part of the story.
not to spoil anything, because it's just like a tiny, tiny little detail. But the priest, who's one of the three main guys, he shoots Gabriel, like.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's just like, and he takes out a gun in the middle of church. That was one of the best parts.
Yeah, he goes like, crazy.
Where's God? Is he under here?
No. Where'd he go? That was probably the best sermon. He was probably my favorite character. But the main guy was great too, the eye patch guy.
Yeah, but then that thing with the sister happened, and I'm like, I know this is ridiculous, but I'm like, that's gross. Not cool.
They're not related in real life. No, I know. Yeah, that was sort of a weird development.
Yeah.
But it was pretty silly.
But I do like the conversation afterward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was good. But anyway.
Good times.
What are we doing today? What movies are we seeing?
We're going to Zombie Walk.
So we're seeing no movies.
We're not seeing any movies today.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That's sad. So we're going to Toronto Zombie Walk, which was essentially a walk of zombies. And that happens every year around this time. And maybe Romero will come and say hi. But I don't think we're going to that part anyway. So, and then afterward, we are going to the amusement park. And we're going to do roller coasters and the haunted houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you are going to meet who?
Oh, Lindsay.
Why am I going, Lindsay?
Yeah.
And also another podcaster.
Well, I already met Ryan.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, it's not that exciting.
It's not that exciting.
Oh, yeah, for anyone who wonders, Ryan of the Matinee cast and
Lindsay.
The Matinee, and his wife, Lindsay, are coming with us. And I met Ryan the other night, and he's very nice and personable. But I didn't meet Lindsay yet.
Yeah, Lindsay's awesome.
I'm sure, yeah, I've heard.
You met quite a lot of bloggers and
I
stuff.
I did, yeah. I know, yeah, it was kind of cool. It's weird to people who you know from the internet to see in real life. It's nice, but it's a little different.
Yeah, I'm always like,
Alex, this is somebody, and they're like, hey, hey, hey. And then, like, 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, yeah, Alex is film forager.
Yeah, we all go by our Twitter handles.
And you're this Twitter handle, and they're both like, oh!
Now you're relevant to me. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Before, I didn't care.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's cool.
That's happened a good, like, half dozen times.
Yeah, I think most people I've met that has happened with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's cool, because especially because some people are, like, maybe I know of their websites or I know of them on Twitter, but I wasn't too familiar with them. But I think now, after meeting people in real life, mm-hmm. I'm much more likely to then become devout followers of their blogs, you know? Because I like reading stuff by people that I have met or that I know, because you can kind of get a sense of them talking about something, you know, you kind of hear it, like, in their discussion. So yeah. I think that's nice, because I don't know too many bloggers in real life, so it doesn't happen very often.
I know too many.
Yeah, you know like, everyone.
I know too many. I need to talk to some normal people. What are you currently doing? I see you are drawing something.
Oh, yeah. I usually draw during podcasting, actually.
Oh, really?
This is a new secret. Yeah, pretty much every time we've done it, I'm usually drawing something. I'm really bad at keeping my hands still, so drawing actually helps me focus.
Mm.
I used to do it, like, in school. You know, I was always doodling. What I'm doing is, well, I'm making a list for Ryan, which was mentioned on his blog a while ago, and I know that Allison will know what I'm talking about, and Ryan Helms, Unibarn.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the main people who were discussing this. Ryan has only seen two anime films, and one of them is Steen Boy, which isn't very good, and one of them is the new one on Poppy Hill.
Oh, which is, fucking hell. Okay.
He loved it, or he liked it.
He loved it, but I think it's because he's never seen anime before.
I see.
It felt like a really, really bad shoujo, or, like, I've never said that word aloud.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the manga usually
made for girls.
For little girls. Yeah. And
which I usually don't read. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's, like, shoujo, or however you pronounce it,
shoujo.
Yeah. On the big screen. So something that should be, like, a one-off, tiny, little manga, and it has its own movie, like, about it, and it's just, like, there's not enough.
Yeah.
And the protagonist, she's just, like, an ordinary girl. There's nothing really special about her, and most anime that comes to North America, and just most anime in general, the female characters, they're, like, in ordinary circumstances, but there's usually something spectacular about them.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that's kind of what you want in a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to just watch, because it's also, everyone has something special about them in real life, or most people.
Well, the protagonist from Up on Poppy Hill, who, she basically just cleans and cooks all day,
mm-hmm.
and then she has this ridiculous relationship with a boy. Like, they just, like, look at each other, and, like it's stupid.
People
and
then drive.
Yeah, and then it turns out they can't get together for a reason, and I was mm-hmm. like, this is so boring. It's just like a really bad manga, and mm-hmm. I'm like, it does not deserve being in a festival circumstances.
Yeah.
But that movie only got there because of the director's father.
I know, because that's too bad, because I haven't seen, this, for anyone who doesn't know, this movie is made by Hayao Miyazaki's son, who I always call Baby Miyazaki, and I know that's not his name, and he's, like, in his 40s. I think his name is Goyo. I want to say his first name.
Yeah, it's something like that.
So he has only made two films, and the first film he made, the first film he did was an adaptation of an Ursula Le Guin novel, was Wizard of Earthsea, which I haven't seen, but heard from all accounts is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second film, and I had heard better things about it, and I was happy, because I feel really bad for Baby Miyazaki, because, like, his dad is, you know, world-renowned, extremely, extremely respected. I'm mm-hmm. sure it's hard to go into the same industry as your father in general, but to go into the same industry as your father when he's, like, super, super famous and super talented
mm-hmm.
must be extremely challenging. And I know that he's probably only getting the attention he's getting because of his father. You're right. But I was hoping that On Poppy Hill would be a bit better. I mean, I might give it a chance. I haven't seen either of his films, so I can't speak to them.
Everyone else that had seen the movie, they seemed to genuinely go, oh, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, it was, like,
you
know, all right.
I mean? Yeah, it was all right. And they had positive meh feelings about mm-hmm. it. I had, this is awful. Just
right.
because, like, I know what can be done with the medium.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Like, I'm familiar enough that I'm like, this isn't good enough for me. And
yeah.
And the animation was kind of clunky.
Oh, that's a problem too. Yeah. Because usually it's like, I may not love the story, but I like looking at it.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference.
It was kind of beautiful. Like, the composition itself was beautiful, mm-hmm. but it wasn't
they kind of walked too much, like toys. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And I was just, I was so disappointed.
That's
and
too bad.
I was upset with Ryan because he liked it. And
yeah,
because
I remember I read his very positive review of it. But it, yeah, you're right. It could just be because he doesn't have as much experience with anime.
But I also saw, from Up on Poppy Hill with his brother, actually. Mm-hmm. And he kind of liked it. But I'm like, no. So don't watch it.
Incorrect.
Go watch Spirited Away.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why I'm making this list for Ryan of
favorite. What's on the list?
All right, I'll go down the list here. Okay. We've got Whisper of the Heart, which is one I definitely think he'll like and I want everyone to see because it's not too popular. Have you seen this one?
No. I don't think I've seen anything on this list.
Okay, cool. So the director's name went out of my head, but it's made by a guy who was actually, he was meant to be Miyazaki's successor. He worked for Studio Ghibli, this was a Ghibli film, and he died at the age of like 46, 47, pretty much of exhaustion, they say. So he's only made one film. And it's really depressing, not the film, but like this situation.
Yeah.
But I love this movie. It's fairly realistic. It's about a girl who's in school and she's like reading and writing stories and she goes to this like mysterious like music shop, like antique shop, and starts making up stories about this like sculpture she finds there that's a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a boy who plays like violin. It's kind of just a sweet love story, you know, for the most part it's realistic, and I think that a big stigma against anime is most people think it's just wacky sci-fi that doesn't make any sense,
mm-hmm.
whereas this movie is grounded in realism and just tells a very good story, and it's cool because it does have these little sort of fantastical parts because of the story she's making up. So there are segments of the fantasy of her story. And Miyazaki actually made a pseudo-sequel to it with The Cat Returns, which I haven't seen, but it's a kid's film, you know, more so like Totoro level, like little kids, and it's that thing is a straight fantasy about the character that she had invented for her story.
Oh,
so it's kind of like a little sequel.
Yeah,
you know?
I like that.
Yeah. So it's very good. Whisper of the Heart, I like it a lot. And I think that it's a good, if you haven't seen too much anime,
it's a good introduction.
It is, because it's got the great animation and it's you know, it's Japanese. And, you know, she wears the uniform. She's in, you know, all Japanese stories always seem to be about the, you know, the young people, you know, when you're like 13, 14.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like that time seems to be a very important time. In many people's lives, but especially in Japanese fiction.
Everything is set somewhere between them being maybe 12
and
to
like
17.
Exactly. Yeah. So I always find that very interesting. So I think it's cool. Also then, of course, I've got Satoshi Kon, who is probably my favorite. Also someone who passed away too young, sadly. He died, I believe it was last year, and he was about, he was in his, I think he was 50 maybe. He was not that old. He was sick. His work is phenomenal. He's highly innovative. His animation style is very distinctive and just beautiful, and he has this certain style that I love. Because a lot of anime does kind of stick to a standard, but he definitely breaks it out. So I have two films recommended for him. One is Paprika. I think that's probably his most famous. And it's really similar to Inception. When I saw Inception, my first thought was, they're stealing a little from Paprika.
Really?
Which is interesting, yeah. It's more...
Like, what specifically?
Well, Paprika has to do with the world of dreams and a machine that, like, sees into dreams. And this woman who has, like, two personalities, and one is, like, the dream personality. And so a lot of it is these crazy, awesome dream imagery.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also stuff happening in real life that you have to deal with and is all connected to the dream world. It's kind of a confusing movie.
Yeah.
But it's very good. The animation is just amazing because there's all this really cool imagery. You know, it's kind of trippy.
Yeah.
But, and it definitely, I'm not saying Inception stole the story or anything.
No, it's just
but that
like,
the ideas
kind of
are there.
Yeah.
And it came out only a couple years before Inception, so I do wonder if there was any influence. And also from Satoshi Kon is Millennium Actress. All of Kon's movies are good, but I watched this one recently, so it's on my mind. It's really good. It's a story of this woman who, this young girl who becomes a very famous actress in Japan and it's set during, like, a little before World War II, and then it's in its aftermath, which I think is a very interesting time period in Japan that you don't really hear a lot about in America. I don't know, in Canada, probably not.
I think that's actually when From Up on Poppy Hill was set.
Okay, yeah. I just it's
before the Olympics, after the war.
Right, so I think the Olympics were it might have been the 60s. I want to say it was a little bit later, or was it earlier?
It might have been the 60s.
I'm not sure. But they're still restructuring.
The description, it was post-war restructure phase before the Olympics.
Because that went on for a long time.
Yeah.
So it kind of, it's cool. It's the story of her life, and it's like a love story, but it's also, it's kind of a mini history of Japan during this period.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really well done, and it weaves between, it's like an old woman telling her story to a reporter, and the reporter turns out to have a connection to her in her past that she didn't know about. So you see the two of them talking in present day, and then it's going into her memories, and then her movies and her memories intertwine, and all of her movies connect to her real life. Oh. And it's really cool the way it's done.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of actually a Margaret Atwood book I had been reading, The Blind Assassin, which I loved. So I at the time I was like really into it because it was a similar story. Anyway, so yeah, Satoshi Kon, amazing. Tekken King Crete is one I don't think a lot of people know about.
No, I don't know that one either.
It's weird. I'm reticent to recommend it, but it's so good. It's the first anime ever directed by a non-Japanese person. It's directed by a white dude. I think he's British. And which is a big deal because Japan is really into, like, you know, Japan.
Yeah.
And it's very experimental. The animation is really cool. It doesn't look like any other anime I've seen. And that's why I want to recommend it, because it does things with animation that I haven't seen other movies do. Mm-hmm. And as an animation nerd, that's important, you know.
Were all the animators from Japan, or were they...
Yeah, it was a Japanese production, okay. But the director was not Japanese. Okay. And it's not important that he wasn't, but it was kind of an interesting trivia fact. He's the first thing. And it's based on a manga, but it's really good. It's about these two boys who are orphans, and they live in this city, and everything is... It's a little bit... surreal, you know, but it's mostly them being in the city, and they kind of, like, they parkour everywhere, you know, because they're gangsters and stuff,
and they
kind
of
have to protect their city
from
these gangsters coming in, but they're, like, kids, you know, so they're kind of in over their head.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, you have Miyazaki, duh.
Yeah.
All of his movies are good. I picked Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke, because I think those are his two, like, most important ones. Would you agree?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But I also, my personal favorite is Howl's Moving Castle, so I threw that in there. I know that's not everyone's favorite. I really like it. So I said, I was like, and if you want, you know, Howl's Moving Castle is good. I like it because I think it's a love story, and I love fantasy, so it's like, I don't know. Do you have a favorite Miyazaki?
Spirit Away.
Yeah, that's the one everyone needs to see. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that he hadn't seen it. To me, that's the one anime, non-anime people have seen, is always Spirited Away. So, and then it won the Oscar, right? So.
Did it?
It was definitely up for one.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe. Animated film, but yeah. And then another guy, I only have a couple more, don't worry.
No.
Another of my favorite animators is Makoto Shinkai. Which actually, I was so happy to see a couple weeks ago, Univarn posted on his blog about this guy. Because I know Ryan Helms likes anime, but he doesn't talk about it too much because no one else likes it.
Yeah.
But I'm the one who's always like, yay, anime, talk about it, you know, because no one else ever does. But so it's cool. He knows this guy too, which is good. So you might recognize him from that post. But Makoto Shinkai is awesome. He's pretty new. As far as I know, he's only made 3 films, one of which is a short. He pretty much does everything himself. His first film is a short called 5 Centimeters Per Second. The best short I've ever seen in my life. It's about 20 minutes. It's one of the best just like pieces of film, I think, you know, like in animation. And he kind of like did it in his house. He just like, and he did everything, and he did the music, you know. It's crazy.
That's insane.
It's really good. His stories are very, very sad. And most of them are kind of like relationship stories, love stories with sci-fi undertones.
Okay.
So 5 Centimeters Per Second is about, again, they're like teenagers, you know, you know, who are good friends and kind of in love, but you don't really know where it'll go. And it's set in this future where some people are chosen to be in like a Starfleet, you know, and they're like fighting aliens. It's kind of like Ender's Game. They have to like go away and fight aliens and their kids. And so the girl is picked to go, or she signs up. And most of it is about her trip to whatever planet it is. And then the boy is staying on Earth. And the way it works is that because time works differently when you're traveling in space, you know. So she'll send him messages, like, on her phone, but he won't get them for years. So it shows him aging, but she's, like, not aging. So it's, like, he grows slowly older, and she stays young, and she's, like, on this really, really long journey. And they're just kind of, like, sending these messages back to each other. It's, like, chilling. It's so beautiful, and it's so sad. I was, like, bawling. It's really, really good. And another film is The Place is Promised in Our Early Days, which is a feature length, but kind of similar themes, you know. Mm-hmm. His movies are very sad, but very good. And I think it's another one where it's not like the crazy out there anime, it's very human.
Yeah.
And I think that's good for someone who hasn't seen too much anime either. And my last two is The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, which, have you seen that one?
I've heard of it, I've never seen it.
It's good. Yeah. Again, I forget the animator's name. He recently did Summer Wars, which came out, like, last, I saw that, months ago, but The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is really good. It's apparently it's the most adapted story in Japan. I think it's a book that has a billion incarnations.
Really?
You know, it's like it's like Pride and Prejudice or something. You know what I mean? It just keeps being made.
Yeah.
And which is cool because I'd never heard of it. I've tried to find an English translation. There's not too much, but so this is a newer version of it that actually references the original. But I didn't get those references because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's about again, a schoolgirl, you know, in high school. And she has two best friends, both of whom are guys. And they're at this time in their life where, as with so many friendships like that, hormonal things, teenagery things, love things are happening. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want anything to change in her relationship with these two guys, but it has to. And so that story is told kind of through this metaphor where she gets this watch that lets her leap through time. Mm-hmm. She can go back in time by literally she it's not even a watch. It's like a power. Yeah. But she runs off a cliff, essentially. And as she runs, she'll just like flip and then she'll be running in the past. So it's like suddenly she's running like in her past. It sounds confusing, but it's not. It makes sense at the time.
Yeah.
So pretty much what happens is she's trying to stop things in her life from changing by constantly going in the past and trying to avoid it. So she's like trying to avoid confrontation with things. She doesn't want to hear what her friends have to say to her at times. She doesn't want to have to deal with certain things because she likes things the way they are. So she keeps trying to change it and avoid it. But you can't, obviously, you know. So it's just, it's sort of about this period of transition and what she's going through, but told in this kind of sci-fi way. Which I think is smart.
Yeah, that sounds like a very clever script.
Yeah, it's a cool premise. It's beautifully animated. I like the characters a lot. It's really good. And the last one I have is, I'm sure one most people have heard of, which is Akira.
Yeah, I just took it off my bookshelf. Which you have right here, so
I know you. I see you've seen it. That's probably the other anime I think other non-anime people have seen.
Spirited Away and Akira.
Yeah, and I love Akira, and it's extremely significant in terms of science fiction, I believe. And it's sort of must-seeing, like a must-view for sci-fi fans. But it's really, really weird and alienating a bit.
Yeah, it's very difficult to become attached. And it's very
Japanese in a lot of ways. Yeah. So I think that it's not a good first one, but that once he's seen a few others, he should definitely go for Akira. Especially because they're making the remake, you know, it's going to be a really crappy Hollywood version. You want to be cool and you want to have seen the original. You want to
know beforehand.
Yeah, and you want to know what they're messing up by making everyone, like, white.
They recently did news. I think you were already in town. I was reading my Google Reader.
Oh, okay.
And apparently they got greenlit for a new cast. It wasn't like the cast that...
Yeah.
Was it Keanu Reeves? It was somebody like
Keanu Reeves is in the Cowboy Bebop movie, which I don't want to talk about.
That's it. Yeah.
We're not going into that. It's too early.
But I forget who was greenlit to star, but it was somebody. I'm like, oh. And then I just closed the browser.
I mean, I'm probably not even going to see it because you don't need to. This movie is so good. You know, it's made by Katsuhiro Otomo, who is like a major anime guy. And the animation is amazing. It's a vision of the... It's made in the... It's in 1988. And I love the 80s vision of the future. Mm-hmm. You know, so everything's sort of like neon and crumbling and weird.
Big-ass motorcycle.
Yeah, they have the huge motorcycles.
The huge jackets.
Yeah. Because it takes place after World War III. So there's old Tokyo and new Tokyo. And I really like it. I haven't read the manga, which I know is longer and more cohesive. Mm-hmm. Maybe not more cohesive, more comprehensive.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a crazy movie. And it doesn't make any sense, but it's like mind-blowingly good. I remember just after I watched it, I had to sit there for a while, and I couldn't even process what I'd seen, but I knew I loved it.
I try to watch it in a situation where there were other people around.
Oh, okay.
I had purchased it because I really wanted to see it, and I put it on my TV, and I guess people were around me doing stuff.
Yeah.
And I couldn't concentrate properly because there was, like, just so much going on. It was just, like, visually, like, I had to concentrate, so I had to turn it off and, like, come back the next day to watch it, like, by myself.
I watched it by myself, too. No. I don't think I could have with other people. Especially because they're weird, you know, you kind of have questions, but it's really better to just, like, watch it and let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel if I was with other people, we'd be kind of talking and trying to figure out what was going
on. Yeah. Oh, no, I immediately went on Wikipedia and I read
like, I did too, yeah.
page. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I feel like we're making it sound like it's, not a good one to watch, but it's so good, it's so good.
Yeah.
And it's also, in terms of, if you're interested at all in like getting a little bit into anime, which I personally am always, I understand anime is not for everyone, but I always think people should give it a try.
Yeah, I try to go back every once in a while
and
get myself more familiar with it because I was really into anime and manga.
I remember you telling
when I was in that age group like that 12 to 14.
Exactly,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Good. Yeah.
That's like that I was really into it, and I used to read manga all the time, and I'd read like. Cardcaptor Sakura.
Oh my god,
I was really into Clamp. Like,
I love Clamp too. I love Chobits.
I saw Chobits, and that was like the first time I've seen anything like that. And I was like, probably like 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the fuck is this? Because Tobit's is pretty...
Tobit's is pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy, and there's a lot of nudity and stuff. And
for anyone who doesn't know, Tobit's is about, like, basically sex robots.
Yeah, and that was...
but it's like a love story.
It's like a love story, but I was 12, I'm like, what is this? And then, like, I stopped reading it. Yeah. But my favorite is Cardcaptor, like, when I was... little girl.
Yeah.
My favorite were Cardcaptor Sakura, which I had everything of.
Of course. Yeah, they had the
figures
and the cards. Yeah.
And then my other favorite was also by Clamp, is Angelic Lair.
Oh, which I've never seen, but I've heard of.
Yeah. I've got the DVDs.
It's a nice Japanese release here, too.
Right here. Yeah, well, very nice Japanese. They're probably knockoffs that I got. But they're about... This girl comes to Tokyo for the first time, and there's these dolls that... from the power of your brain, you can, like, make them move and stuff, mm-hmm. and they have these competitions where the dolls fight, and, like,
and that's awesome.
That's all it is. Yeah. It's fighting dolls led by these women, because pretty much everybody who does this are women. There's, I think, two guys in it.
That's cool. Usually the fighting type stuff is left to dudes, so that's
nice. And I just, like, this is the coolest thing ever, and... It's just adorable. Anything by Clamp is just, like,
yeah, really Clamp sweet. For people who don't know, it's an all-female collective of artists and writers, and they release a lot of manga and anime. I've only read their manga. I've never seen any of the anime.
It's they only do the manga,
and then people adapt it.
There's adaptions, yeah.
But it's for girls, but it's usually it's cool. Like, it's pretty well done.
Yeah,
and it's
the art is
really good. Yeah, like, because there's we don't need to get too into it, but there's, like, Shoujo and Shonen, and Shoujo's for women, for girls, and Shoujo's for boys. I read
Isn't
more.
The opposite?
Oh, sorry, Shoujo's for girls and Shonen's for boys. I read a lot more Shonen.
I
know Allison has read a lot more Shoujo than I have. She knows, but Clamp was the only one that I read that was sort of aimed at girls. Because I like Chobits, and I read a little bit of a Magic Knight, Ray Earth was them too.
Yeah.
So they're
I know
cool.
all this shit.
Yeah. Because I went through the same period. Yeah. I don't read manga as much anymore.
Like Hot Gimmick and stuff, all that. I read all that stuff.
But see, I think a lot of that is the stuff that now, you know, grown people who aren't into anime look at and they're kind of turned off by it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly like people
but
think
it's not
that
all
it's all
like
shoujo
that.
And it's not.
It's not, and especially film. Like, I'm not recommending any series because I think that is just more of a commitment. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of anime series I still love, but I think a lot of the films are the ones that can be a bit more accessible and just, like, well done. And there's just, I don't know, I don't like that people kind of stigmatize anime and classify it as if it's all one genre. Like, anime is a style, it's not a genre.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, by saying I don't like anime, that'd be like saying I don't like movies, essentially. Or, like, I don't like animation because, you know, it's not like every anime is a sci-fi or every anime is a Western.
No,
it's all different.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have certain stylistic tendencies and, I mean, they're all in, you know, they're, like, have Japanese things in them, so there's cultural differences.
Yeah.
But that'd be like saying I don't like French movies. You know, I don't know. I think it's frustrating. People don't have to like it, but so many people don't give it a chance because of their assumptions.
Yeah,
and I would love more people to kind of just be open-minded about it.
A lot of people have difficulty watching foreign films.
Yeah, foreign films in general.
Watching films that have subtitles.
True,
Like, stuff like that.
I know, which, it's okay. Yeah, I'm not trying to be judgy. It's just sort of frustrating.
If you haven't seen any, you should at least watch...
You just give it a try.
Yeah, watch Spirited Away.
Yeah, well, exactly.
If you like it, maybe, you know...
Yeah.
Go watch something else.
Because it's one thing I could see, if you don't like science fiction, then that kind of cuts out. A lot of anime is science fiction. But you could watch something like Whisper of the Heart, which is just this, like, love story between students. Mm-hmm. Or, a lot of, like, Satoshi Kon's work, aside from Paprika, like, Tokyo Godfathers, is about three homeless dudes who have a baby. And it's just, like, you know, a heartwarming story of them trying to survive Christmas, essentially, trying to survive the winter. You know. That's what it is. You could have that story in live action, and it'd be the same, except it might be in English.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't have to be alienating. So, yeah, hopefully. If anyone likes the sound of my recommendations, I they're all good. there's a few good, like, samurai ones, too, which I am debating picking.
I've never seen any samurai anime movies.
Well, my favorite is probably Sword of the Stranger. Again, I don't remember the animator, but or the director. It's cool. It's just... it's about, you know, it's like if there's like a lone warrior, you know, and he's like got to do a revenge mission. And he picks up, like, there's like a young kid who kind of follows him around. And there's a cool big fight at the end. It's just, it's a really good action movie. You know, it's very well animated with the action scenes. And it's set in, I think it's the Edo period, you know. And it's just, it's cool. Like, I like some of the samurai stuff. I know some people like that in, like, live-action Japanese films. So that's kind of a good thing to check out, too. There's a few. I mean, for samurai stuff, I think I've seen more anime, like, a series. Like, I used to love a Rurouni Kenshin. That's, like, sort of a... That's about a ronin who is a really good swordsman, and he used to be, like, a killer. Like, he would go into, like, berserker rages. But now he's really nice and trying not to be a killer anymore.
No berserker.
Yeah. And then Samurai Champloo is another good one. That's by the same people who did Cowboy Bebop.
Oh.
So and I love that the animation style in Bebop is my favorite. So it looks awesome.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, the characters are kind of similar. They have some of the same voice actors. Like, the main guy is pretty much just Spike Spiegel, but he's in a samurai. I mean, he's in, like, you know, because it takes place in the Edo period.
Yeah.
And that one, it's cool. It's short. It's like, and all the music is hip-hop. It's like, I think RZA.
Really?
And, yeah. I have the soundtrack. It's really good. So it's kind of like, it's set in the Edo period, but, and it's fairly realistic, I'd say. I was actually taking a course on Edo period culture when I watched the show, so I was very much involved in the time period. But then the music is very modern, the fighting style, they kind of are inspired a bit by, like, dancing, like hip-hop dancing, so the way it's animated is kind of
It's kind of like they fight to a beat. I kind of want to watch this one
the best. It's fun, yeah. It's not too long of a series. I don't remember, I think it's shorter than Bebop. Bebop's, like, what, 25? Yeah.
It feels like a long thing.
Yeah. And it's not as good as Bebop, I'd say, but it's just the animation's really cool, soundtrack's good, and it's just, like, it's just a cool one. You know, the characters are just, like, cool, you know? And there's one sort of, like, wild sword fighter who's very nonchalant about things, and there's another one who's very serious and, like, very deadly, and and he's, like, running away from something, but you don't know what. You know, they all get secret paths.
Yeah.
There's kind of an annoying lady in it, which is the one detrimental thing. She kind of hires them as her bodyguards because she's searching for her father, and she's funny, but she's a little annoying. Sometimes women in anime can be a bit too histrionic. They have all the high-pitched, you know, and that's the one downside, I'd say, but it's still really good. You know, it's, So that's, if into samurai stuff, I think there's a lot of good anime for that as well. But I just haven't seen as many films that are samurai-based.
Yeah.
I think Sword of the Stranger is very good. I recommend that one highly. And I've seen Samurai X is very dark. It's very violent.
I think the last samurai movie I've seen, embarrassingly, is that Tom Cruise.
The Last Samurai?
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but it looks so ridiculous. I just remember being like, why is a white guy in Japan being a
why is Tom Cruise with a sword? Like, the whole movie, you're like, this is not believable. This is not, no.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You didn't see 13 Assassins? Mickey's newest?
No, I'm waiting for the DVD.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's long, but it's really good.
Yeah. No, it showed up at TIFF.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I tried to get tickets for it, but I think I was working at the time. And I think Mickey had two movies that year.
He pumps them out like crazy.
He does.
I know.
He does.
And they're always, I like and half I won't see because they're too, I'm scared of them. Mm-hmm. I saw Ichi the Killer, and that really turned me off to a lot of his films.
I've heard that that's not that.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and again, squeamishness, I can't deal with it. Exactly. I'm never going to watch Audition. Yeah. I know what happens. I don't need to see it. Yeah. I don't.
But no, I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah, 13 Assassins I liked a lot. And it's very, it's pretty restrained for him. Yeah. And it has a good, like, period feel.
No.
I don't think I'd really seen him do a period movie before.
I can't remember if the DVD's already out or it's, like, fairly soon. I have it ordered.
It should be around.
Yeah, I have it ordered, but it doesn't come to my house, so I don't know if I have it yet or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That is good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk about anime so much.
No. Anime's awesome.
It's nice that you know what I'm talking about.
Anime's awesome. It's fairly rare to find somebody that I find that knows about anime but isn't totally into anime.
Exactly, that's the problem, and that's why people are alienated, because they were the crazy otaku people.
Yeah,
you can't talk to them.
I have difficulty, like, we have this, like, all night art thing, and there's these two guys dressed up as Doctor Who. I'm like, hey, Doctor Who people. And, like, I went up to them and I talked to them. And they were hanging out with otaku girls and, like, guys.
Oh, yeah.
And they all had those stupid hats on, you know, those, like, chibi
hats. Yeah, like, and cat ears, like, and stuff, yeah.
like, I really want to hang out with the doctors, and I just, like, I can't.
Is it worth the crazy?
It's just, you guys are all crazy, and never, it's very hard to find the people that are, like.
Like, casual, kind of. Casual. Yeah, or, like, in, like, low-key about
yeah,
it. Yeah,
yeah, low-key. Yeah. Because it's usually you find the people that talk about it are just insane.
I know. And it can be, yeah, it's kind of, it's like when you meet super comic book nerds. It's like, I like comic books.
Yeah.
But there are the people who you can't even have a regular conversation with them. There's like this wall between you where they're sort of stuck in one zone and mm-hmm. you're a regular person who happens to be nerdy.
People might be doing a podcast about the film nerds and they could be talking about us.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. But I feel like I have an awareness of other people. I don't always talk about movies with people. And I recognize if someone's not a movie person, I'm not going to go into it. And I do my best to know, like, what references I can use and what I can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where and I try to have one or two other interests I could bring out if I need to talk about something that isn't movies.
Yeah.
I let go.
It's like, I shouldn't talk about this, like, very specific film.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Inception. Like something, like...
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh. So, you know, I'll talk about, like, food a lot with people who aren't movie people.
Cause yeah?
Yeah. Because I'm thinking, like, people at work. Because I work in retail, and so we talk, like, when there's no one in the store, mm-hmm. you're just stuck with one person. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to them. So it's like, you have to think of a lot of topics that aren't movie related.
Most of my jobs have to do with, like... people that are very much into the arts. Mm. So I usually don't have a problem talking to people because, yeah. like, if people aren't into movies, they probably watch a lot of TV.
Exactly.
They don't watch a lot of TV. Yeah. They read a lot of books.
Right.
So I have something.
Yeah. I usually try and find book people. Book people. That's helpful, yeah. too. Yeah.
But, like, if you don't know something about those three spheres, maybe don't even want to talk to you.
That's true. I know. It's hard.
Yeah. Okay, so we have
your battery's about to die, also. I noticed earlier. Yeah, yeah.
But we also have to go to the zombie walk.
We do.
Because it's almost done.
Oh gosh.
And we're doing late starts, aren't we?
I know. It's so hard to get out of bed.
It is. Well, we get back at like 1:30 pretty much every day.
Went to bed at like 2:30 last night.
Yeah. I think it was later. I think it was around 3.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Wild party lives.
We're pretty cool. okay. So let's go to zombie walk.
All right.
And
we'll probably have more time after dark later, maybe.
Let's go fold some scarves.
Let's go fold some scarves.
Awesome.